Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that is listener supported. So if you're capable of, financing this little operation to the tune of $1 a month or more, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and click on the subscribe button, and we'll give you some commercial-free archives as well. It saves you all that time that instead of waiting and listening to the ads when you want to get back to the conversation. Sure, you can download the ads and skip them manually, but imagine it being skipped automatically for you. It's really nice. It's like TiVo without needing the ability to fast forward. It just goes straight to the stuff that you want. There's good, juicy nuggets of information there. So please, by all means, there is a bank account number there too. If you're capable of making international or national transfers into there on an automatic payment basis, all it does is giving me something to live off so I can keep doing what I'm doing, which incidentally is more than anybody else in the country is doing in terms of alternative truth talk radio or video. I saw people releasing a couple of videos, short videos, low-quality videos from the Monsanto marches. I saw one person do a very, very professional, good video, and I promoted the heck out of that video and said that it was way better than anything I did. But I did 15 videos of in high HD quality from that one Monsanto march. And as a direct result of those 15 videos, those people who spoke at the march all have their entire speeches encapsulated and put on YouTube in HD. Okay, now there's a reason for that. It's because nobody else will do it, because they either do not have the time or the resources or the skills necessary to do it. I do, and I'm putting those skills on the line, basically, because people need it to be done. That's all I want to do, is get done what needs to be done, because nobody else is really taking personal responsibility for it. Unfortunately, I cannot do it on my own, and I need your help and your support so that I can go out and help and support others. Just pass that parcel along. Give something to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and you will be astounded at what I accomplish with very little resources. My very special guest is still Cameron Wiltshire, who, as I believe it, is on the cell phone. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, glad to be back. And I'd like to issue a challenge or a request to all your listeners. I'm going to donate after the show because I believe what you're doing, Vinny. And if they match my donation, you know, also, not to sound like an abundance minister, one of these Joel Osteens or anything, but truly, when you give, you do get. It is the law of reciprocity. You know, if you believe in the concept that Vinny's working so hard to provide for the greater good, you know, help this brother out, man. Send him some goodwill, some good love there, and know that it's going to show up in your own situation. And we got to have the courage and the faith to, you know, put feet on our prayers, walk our talk, and support those that are out there working hard for really your health and your children's health and the health of the whole planet. Because what's more important than this Monsanto protest gaining steam and taking on a life of its own? People have to understand they have the right to reject this BS in their food. That's going to work their own minds and their children's bodies. So I'm happy to support you, Benny, and I ask other listeners out there, please, you know, match my donation. I'm going to put up $111. You know, if they can do a tenth of that, 11 bucks, so to speak, math's not my strong suit, so feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what I'm going to do for my brother Vinny here, because, see, I know what it's like as an activist. I've done a lot of work with We Are Change Atlanta, 9/11 Truth, you know, Cynthia McKinney, Luke Witkowski, Richard Gage, and, you know, you'd be surprised how many well-known activists online are willing to sleep on the floor, you know, sell everything they own to do this good work. So the least we can do is offer up a little extra we might have so they can keep doing this work and helping humanity evolve. We got some baddies trying to shut us down, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it comes down to the point where maybe you don't have the time to go out and do the protesting or something of that nature because you're busy working. And maybe if you did have the time, you'd go out and maybe you'd work for 1 hour or something like that, and you'd be on the megaphone or you'd be at a protest and you'd march down one particular street or something like that. That amount of time that you spent earning instead, you're still supporting the system. And it's basically like, just do something. Not, it doesn't have to be big. Just do something different. If you want things to change, don't do the exact same thing with your money every single day. You know, try and do something like it's like an investment. Investment in alternative media, because if you are consuming this content as well, I think you must comprehend that these kind of shows would not exist without both your listenership and your continued support. So it actually is a reciprocal thing. So regardless of how much work I put in, had I not you generous, loving, caring people to give back or to just keep listening to all these incredible voices and shows that we do here, it would be for naught. So you make it worth it, essentially, and it just keeps going around in that kind of infinite little cycle there. And it's pretty awesome, to tell you the truth, Cameron, because it's been a lot of years. Just building up to this point where I'm even capable of paying my bills at all. Yep. By doing this, I've said this on radio many times. Every single thing that I own, and I'm not exaggerating. I haven't bought really anything for myself in more than half a decade or something. Everything gets given to me. Okay. The computer was given to me. The microphone was given to me. The headset was given to me. The camera filming us right now was given to me. The studio lights that have gone on was given to me. The posters on the walls of John Key and chemtrails and things like that, they were all given to me. My pants were given to me. My underwear was given to me. My T-shirt was given to me. I don't really own anything. I live 100% on the generosity of others. I'm like a leech on society that instead of sucking your blood, pumps awesomeness back in.
Nice. We have a symbiotic parasitism going on. Just kidding. You're no parasite, Benny.
I'm like one of those little fish parasites that hovers near the shark and stuff like that, and makes sure that shark is kept clean while it protects me from the big other, not larger fish or something than the shark or anything, but much larger fish than me. You know, I don't know.
I like that. It's a good visual model.
Yeah, you know, or some kind of a bird that sits on the back of a hippopotamus picking parasites off its leathery back.
Yeah, and we all can do that for each other. We can all be grooming each other, keeping parasites at bay, and you know, a lot of it is just like you said, just make a slight shift in behavior. You know, stop drinking fluoridated water. You know, stop eating GMO food. Refuse to do it. You know, it'll cause you to fast, but it'll cause you to become more awake and aware, and you'll say, well, what is my body telling me when I eat this garbage? You know, I saw a thing with Lee Camp today. He was just decrying how this guy had a McDonald's hamburger that was pretty much in the exact same state it was 14 years previous when it was originally purchased. And it's a hilarious rant. It's on defenso.com right now. And, you know, and thank God for Lee Camp and these other folks like yourself with good sense of humor that help us laugh, even though it's such a tragedy. And I still see people lined up around McDonald's. It makes me sick. Somebody's got to talk to them. So, you know, friends don't let friends eat McDonald's. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. A friend with McD's is not a good friend indeed.
We need some more mixed metaphors to bring down McDonald's. Yeah. Why do people still eat a McDonald's? I mean, come on. Buy a piece of fruit. It's just so... It's
just the addiction factor. You know, you go past it and you smell as a modified beef tallow that they fry those chips in, and all those memories come back from childhood. It's like, it was good to have that ice cream cake and stuff like that when I was 8 years old in that little indoor playground and stuff like that. Oh yeah, that Freudianness is working on my brain gasm now. Place. Oh, I want some of that melted cheese and that rotten lettuce that's been sitting on the roasting tray for like 4 hours. Oh my God. I remember that time when I was drunk as heck, when I was walking back at 4 o'clock in the morning and there was an all night McDonald's and everybody in there looked like a freaking zombie. And then I walk up to the tellers and I make sure that I get myself like the most crustiest, oldest, most horrific burger that I ever conceive of in my life. And God damn, it was good.
Well, that, and they're strategically placed near every exit. So, you know, if you're traveling in America, the food quality outside of major cities is deplorable. It's really scary. Like, I have a brother who drives trucks for a living, and, man, he put on almost 100 pounds doing this job. You know, you're sitting, you're traveling 12 hours at a time, you know, all over the country, and the only place you can eat is truck stops, and then you sleep in the back of your truck, and it destroyed his body. I hope he's recovering now. But it was, you know, and when I travel, I'll go aisle to aisle, and it's like, I can't eat any of this, and nor would I want to. And then there's always, like, a Subway and a KFC built into it. It's like, what is this? What kind of monstrosity is this? And like you said, people are just in a trance. They're just in there shuffling their feet, guzzling caffeine, being productive for people that hate them. You know, if they could just, you know, get the spiritual fortitude to take a risk, you know, to advance on their path and have a little faith. Because you walked on faith, right? Like, you didn't know that you would be here years later. You just said, I got to do it. And then the people showed up and said, hey, he's built this. I'm here. I'm going to support.
Yep. Pretty much. Well, I didn't do it really out of choice. I did it out of a lack of options. I just couldn't keep working and earning big money and stuff like that while the world went to hell around me.
Good man. Hey, and there's a lot of good brothers out there and sisters that are doing great work. And, you know, we just build these networks up. We help each other, inspire each other, and really build a family. Because, you know, if you have people that you can trust and that have your back and know who you are and where you're coming from, you'll find. But it's such a powerful force. Just people praying for you, people keeping their eyes open on your behalf, and you doing the same, it makes you feel great. So we've turned this into, like, all of a sudden a fundraiser. I feel like one of those folks on PBS a little bit. But it's true. You have to support those who are supporting you. And if you're listening out there and you have the means, help Vinny out. And know that it's going to come right back to you, you know.
Yeah, well, it always does, and people do show up, and that's what I found was really quite funny, is that you go into it and you, it's like you're going in blind and you have no freaking idea whether or not you're going to have an effect, whether or not people are going to listen, whether or not you're going to be assaulted by police, or whether or not the activists are going to appreciate you making the videos for them and stuff like that. And sure enough, you just start to learn from people firsthand, and you start to live vicariously through the really gallant actions of others. I think that's what really motivated me, is because I got to see the best of humanity, who would stand up against people like Monsanto, who would stand up against corrupt governments, who would stand up against the city councils and Freemasonic mayors of untold, unparalleled levels of scumbaggery being committed and being exposed by these really gallant people in the truth movement globally. And you feel so inspired by them and all the work that they're doing that it makes you feel guilty that I'm not doing enough. I was talking to my mate yesterday, bro, and he's looking at the amount of subscribers. Got nearly 7,000 subscribers on YouTube, right? And the New Zealand Herald, our equivalent of the New York Times here, has like 3,000-4,000. Okay, right. So I'm like twice as popular as basically any two mainstream media outlets on YouTube here. I told him what my last paycheck was. All right. Nearly $5,000 in cash and $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers, like at a mall, so I could buy anything at this mall. Okay, that was my last paycheck. That was for 45 days work.
Wow.
All right, and people still accuse me of doing this for the money.
Who's just that? They really do understand what a sacrifice it is. And they feel a little bit ashamed, so they kill the messenger. They say, oh, Vinny, you're just like me. You're just in it for the money. You've hardened your heart, and this is a gag. You're not a regular Joe. You can't keep a 9-to-5. That's your issue. You probably have ADHD, blah, 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 blah. Repeat whatever television tells me to think constantly, because, you know, they're just trained to stick people like attack dogs, you know, certain trigger words, you know, and they do that through the media. They say, oh, conspiracy theorist, or you know, whatever other epithets they like to hurl at people who are thinking openly and independently. And those are people that, you know, they are accurately referred to as sheeple, and they don't really matter, and they don't usually leave much of a mark on history because they're just conformists. So who cares about them? Did that come off bitter?
No, I think it came off as rather sage. And I was just wondering, what are your recollections like this? Because if you're donating over $100, and I'm quite surprised at that, bro. Then thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm just wondering what motivates you to show that kind of level of support. What motivated you to help out Randall Carlson with Sacred Geometry International and all of that kind of stuff? I mean, who were you before all of this happened?
Well, I feel like I've always been a fighter at heart, and I've always been, because of circumstance, aware that the world is injured and in need of redemption and healing. And it's basically just my life path to be an activist and to be of assistance to this transformation. And I think precisely because I honored that calling, you know, I've had times where I've fallen off and tried to be normal, and it just, you know, swift kick in the arse, it didn't really work out for me to avoid the call. And so when I got back on the wagon, I had all these, you know, repetitive mystical encounters, synchronicities, premonitions, precognitive dreams, you name it, all in a row, coinciding with my Saturn's return. So for people out there who dabble in astrology, they're probably familiar with this concept that Saturn, this massive planet in the sky that is mythically so potent, as identified as Kronos, or the old man, the reaper, the hurler of the thunderbolt, the king that was deposed by Jupiter. You know, the plant was, I'm sorry, I'm going on and on with the correspondences here, and I hear the music starting, so I'll kick it back in to overdrive once we come around.
Yeah, we'll kick it back into overdrive once we come around. That sounds really cool, like a song lyric. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.